Our Father, thank you for that great hymn we just sang. Thank you for Charles Wesley, the man who wrote it. A man who, it's amazing, he did mission work without being born again, doing it as a job. And then he came to have his heart set free and be born of the Spirit, and then he became a real preacher of the Word. And we thank you, Lord, for his testimony, even in this song, and how we can relate to it as well. If we've come to know your Son, we know you've set us free. And you've set us free from guilt and sin, and are setting us free from the power of sin in our life. And you're helping us to be how we were made in the first place, to be a person who loves you and follows you. We want to thank you now for your holy word. Every time we take your word, we know it's a really special book, like no other. But we need your help. We humble ourselves. We want a tender and humble heart, like Josiah of old, that we might let you speak to us and teach us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on one of our famous Stirling adventures, that's the Stirling Rangers, I remember that we decided, it was a youth group camp many years ago, we decided to go to the eastern end of the Stirling Rangers to climb Ellen Peak. And on this camp, we had a bus. I wonder if Mitch remembers this. We had a big bus, and we decided to all hop into the bus, and off we went, past Amalup, onto the gravel road, and we're heading towards the start off for the walk up Ellen Peak. But halfway along, or somewhere halfway along, I remember there was a dip in the road, and there were some puddles of water on the road. She'll be right. Mitch is fearless. They're just puddles. We're in a big bus. So we head into this dip, and we don't get out. We got stuck, didn't we not, Mitch? We really got stuck because those puddles were hiding what was really there. There was just these big bog patches in the middle. So no matter how big the bus was, we hit this mud and we just sank into it. And I remember the whole youth group getting out and we're trying to push the bus, and we're in the mud. We're all muddy as well, and we're trying to do everything we could, but we were stuck in this mud, absolutely stuck. We needed help. It brings back lots of memories. But you know, as I think about that incident, I feel that many Christians, perhaps many of us here, we are stuck in the mud. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that we're stuck in ungodly behavioral patterns. We're stuck in worldly thinking and worldly practices. We're stuck in sin. There are sins that habitually take us down, that rule over us. In terms of our spiritual fervor, we're stuck in lukewarmness and mediocrity. Is that how you are? So often as Christians, we stall. We get stuck in this world's mud. I'm reminded of the words of Keith Green, who wrote these words: "My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. I know how I ought to be, alive to God and dead to me." And in this song, Keith Green shares openly about how we all can struggle in this bad place we get to, where we're just spiritually nowhere. We're stuck in the mud. For a genuine Christian, it's true. We know how we ought to be. That's what Keith Green expresses in that song. We know that we're meant to be alive to God, living for Him. We know that we're meant to be dead to sin, experiencing the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, who is changing us into the image of Christ. But somehow, our life stalls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us what should be happening in our life. It says, "But we all, with an unveiled face, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord through the Spirit." It says, we all. Are you part of that all? So often we just feel like we're not. We are stuck in the mud. We are just not going anywhere in our Christian life. But as I think about that, in our sermon series through Romans, we now come to Romans chapter 12. And I want to say to you, that Romans chapter 12 is full of practical Christian living. If we would live this out, these words out, we would find ourselves knowing this changing life that we can have, this transformed life we can have. And so I'm delighted to come to this section. Romans chapter 12 to Romans chapter 15 is all about what it looks like, what practically we can do to not be stuck in the mud, but be living a dynamic Christian life. We're going to be looking this morning at just two verses. And just remember what we've covered so far. We looked in Romans chapters 3 to 5. We have considered the gospel of God and justification by faith because of what Jesus has done for us. In Romans chapter 6 to 8, we have looked at this life in Christ we're meant to live because of the Spirit of God being in us. And in Romans chapter 9 to 11, we have considered God's incredible plans. Praise and glory be to his name. But you know, we can know all that. We can know it all and still be stuck in the mud. There are things we need to do in our life that we might know what the Christian life is about and know this transforming work of the Spirit in our life. We're just going to consider two verses this morning. They are two really important verses. If you're into memorizing the Bible, you ought to memorize these two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me read to you the first verse. It says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In this very first verse, in this new section in Romans, I am struck by how I am to do something. God has done so much for us. That's what we've been seeing. He's given us his Son. He saved us through his Son. He's given us his Spirit. He's got great plans for us. But now we get something that we need to do. And it says here that we are to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God. We are to do this. And notice the first verse there talks about the body. I want you to explore what that means. We can just say it. Present your body as a living and holy sacrifice to God. But what does that look like practically? Let's think about it. It means where I use my feet and my legs for God. I use my hands and my arms for God. I use my eyes and my ears for God. I use my mouth and my tongue for God. I use my heart and desires for God. You've got to think like this. You've got to think about how your body, all its different parts, is meant to be given up to God, to God's service. That's something that we are to do. We may have great knowledge about God. We might know all about the vicarious substitutionary atonement of Christ. That means he died for us in our place. We might know all sorts of doctrines and have great discussions with all sorts of theologians. But we must do this. We must give our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God. We may attend church regularly. We may break bread and remember Jesus. We may have a set time each day where we pray. We might do all this, but we must present our bodies to God as a living and holy sacrifice. If we do not, we will just remain the same. We will just be a stagnant Christian. We'll be like a pond just full of algae. We need to present ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice. Thinking through the Old Testament pictures, I see it again and again. What happens when you do that? I think of Abraham. He's comfortable living with his family in Ur of Chaldees. And God tells him that he's got to go to Canaan. And he does obediently. He goes to Canaan. He uses his feet and legs to carry him to Canaan. And God wonderfully blessed him. I think of David. David risking his life. He sees there's a challenge. Goliath is confronting them all. And David, with the courage of the Lord, he comes against Goliath in the name of the Lord. He uses his hands and his arms to fire that slingshot at Goliath to the glory of God. We've got to use our body. I think of Job. It says of Job that there was no one like him, a holy and righteous man. He pleased God, and even after he was tested, He still pleased God. He still sought God. He never cursed God. And I think of this one verse where he says something about his eyes. He says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin with lust? Wow, his eyes were given to God, not to his own carnal desires. This is what it means to be a living and holy sacrifice to God. I think of Isaiah. What a mighty prophet of God he was. He sees the Lord enthroned on high and he hears the Lord speak these words. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And then God used his mouth and his tongue to speak the word of God to his people and the word of Christ. He spoke so much about Jesus. God used him. I think of a lady called Esther, a beautiful lady. A lady by her beauty who became the queen of the nation. King Ahasuerus was the king at the time, the king who ruled the then known world, and she used her situation and position. She risked her life to do something incredible. She aligned her heart and her desires with God's will, and she sought to save the Jewish people from destruction. In all these situations and many others, what great changes and transformations occurred in their lives. What great deeds and incredible blessing flowed from their lives because they gave themselves to God. In the words of Romans 12 verse 1, they presented their bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God. This is something that I must say Christians don't seem to get hold of. We're happy to get from Jesus. We're happy to get the gift of salvation. But we're not very good at giving ourselves to him. Giving ourselves to him who gave himself for us. Just looking at those words in Romans 12 verse 1, I'm glad it does say there that we are to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. You're not called to be like a sheep of the Old Testament, which gets killed when it's put on the altar. We're called to be a living sacrifice. The challenge for us, though, is that so often as a living sacrifice, we want to crawl off the altar. That's the problem with us being living. We want to crawl off the altar and do our own thing. Are you aware of that in your own life? And we're also called to be a holy sacrifice. That is to say, holy means set apart. We are wholly devoted to the Lord, not divided. We are set apart for the Lord. And the challenge for us being a holy sacrifice is that so often we want to, what? Have one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. We have division. That's the challenge we face. Oh, that we would be those who, with all our heart, present ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice. And I just love how, I haven't even looked at it yet, but I am driven to do this. If I should do this, what is it? Verse 1, the beginning of verse 1, if I should just dwell on the mercies of God, this is going to help me do it. Why is that? We're meant to dwell on the mercies of God. Let me read it. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God. It's the mercy of God that will help me do this. When I think of God's mercy to me personally, this little dot in the universe, that I should be the object of his compassion. That should move me to respond to God. When I think of God's incredible mercy, not just to me, a little dot in the universe, but a rebellious dot who has hurt him and rebelled against him. And how I have experienced his incredible mercy to have all my sins forgiven. It should cause me to be moved to give myself to God. Isn't that right? It's the mercy of God that should drive us. I just love how even in the Old Testament, before the children of Israel were given the Ten Commandments, there's an important few verses just before the Ten Commandments. And it's all about what God had done for his people. He told them, he reminded them, I'm the one who rescued you from the land of Egypt where you were oppressed and in slavery. I rescued you now, therefore. And then comes the commands. And so it is for us. God has done great things for us. We ought not to hear this as just a command. We ought to want to give ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice. And when I think of sacrifice, I can't help but think of Jesus and to think of how he sacrificed himself for us. The great King, how do you put this? The great King of kings and the Lord of lords, the co-creator of the universe, the one who is equal with the Father, to think that he humbled himself and died in my place upon a cross. He sacrificed himself for us so that we might receive God's mercy and not his judgment. When we think of these things, surely it should come into our mind that we ought to desire to be a sacrifice to God, a living and holy sacrifice. When I think of Romans chapter 12, and at the very end of that verse, it goes on to say, which is your spiritual service of worship. And NIV has spiritual act of worship. And you know, you can look at the Greek there, and there's only two Greek words. Perhaps the best translation for those two Greek words is this. This is your reasonable service. And I love that part. I think that's more accurate and I think it's correct. It is reasonable that we give ourselves to God because God gave himself for us. The word latreia is used. We often translate that word as service or worship. In this context, it's probably best translated service. It's a reasonable service to God that we give ourselves to him as a living and holy sacrifice. What do you think? Isn't that not make sense in regard to God's incredible mercy to us and all that Jesus has done for us? But now let's look at verse 2. Let me read it first of all. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Not only are we to be a living sacrifice, but we need to have our mind, what does it say? Renewed. This is the way for us to be transformed, to get out of the mud, to be the person that God wants us to be. And it says that very clearly in verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And notice, you know, the living and holy sacrifice part in verse 1 is connected to our body. But we need to think about our mind. And our mind desperately needs to be renewed, doesn't it not? And I believe on a daily basis. One of the great battlefields in this world is not between countries, it's actually in the mind, the human mind. What a great battlefield it is. It's here where we choose and make decisions. It's here where we determine our life path. It's here where we choose to just do our own thing or to give ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to God. Let me be clear about this mind we have. The devil is out to con us into thinking, don't give yourself to God, it's going to be bad. He's not good. You'll be upset. Everything will turn disastrous. He tries to poison our mind in regard to God and how good it is to give ourselves to God. He will try and poison our mind. He will try and con us. And not only that, we live in a world that is out to conform us, to conform our thinking so that we think like the world thinks and do the things that the world does. You better understand the battle we're in. The devil conning us and the world seeking to conform us. What a statement we have in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. It's so important we take hold of that. That we do not be conformed to the thinking and behaving that is found in our fallen world. The world, the people of this fallen world, will do everything they can to conform us to their ways and thinking. Do you understand that? I hope you do. I hope you understand that in the days we live. In the days we live, we have seen the world's power over people's minds. We have seen how the world is seeking to convince people that this whole world came about by chance, not by God. Through evolution, not by God. This world is seeking to help us believe that we are free to do whatever we want, as long as you don't get caught or you don't hurt somebody and get in trouble. You know, you can do whatever you like. This world is seeking, especially in recent times, to make us think and believe that homosexuality, for example, is fine because it's all about love. And that abortion is fine because it's all about the mother's rights. And the world is seeking to confuse us and convince us of these ways. Are you not aware of this? Are you not aware that because of the way everything is these days, that we are so surrounded by the world? It's constantly happening to us. This whole thing of, as we mix with people in the workforce or at a sporting team, or as we read the newspaper or watch TV or see a movie, there's all the worldly thoughts that are coming in, seeking to conform us to the ways of the world. In J.B. Phillips' translation of Romans 12, verse 2, he puts it pretty well. He says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." That's what it's seeking to do. It's very powerful, and it will conform us to that thinking. So how can we resist this? That's how we ought to be viewing this. How can we resist this? How can we stand against this great tide? There's only one way I know. It says, renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? It's really simple. What do you reckon it might be? How do I renew my mind every day? How do I get the world's rubbish blown out of my mind? How do I get my mind lined up with God so that I might think like He does, think right and clear? There's only one thing I know, the Word of God. We need to read God's Word. We need to read the Bible. And we need God's Spirit, the breath of God, to clean out our mind and to blow out the world's rubbish every day. I want to say to you all, if you're not reading the Bible every day, you are being conformed to the world. The world always has that power on us. No matter how strong we think we are, we need to every day allow God to speak to us and blow the dust out, blow the rubbish out, to align our mind with His. You know, I've seen this several times now, looking down onto a harbour, and there's all these boats in the harbour from a height. And if there's a good wind blowing, there's something that you notice. Every boat anchored in that harbour is all lined up in the same direction. They're lined up facing the wind. The bow is facing the wind. I remember when I first saw this, I think I was down somewhere down south. I thought, what a picture this is for us all, even for an individual Christian, that we need the Holy Spirit through the Word of God blowing on us so that every cell in my body and every brain cell might be lined up with God's way and thinking. I so desperately need that, because without that, I'm going to be conformed to the ways of this world. I think about the importance of God's Word. It's seen in the Psalms. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." What a picture of what it is in this world. That's how it is. If we are in their counsel and standing in their path and sitting with them, and if we're not strong for Jesus, if we're not reading the Word ourselves, we're going to be conformed to what they're thinking and saying. This is what we've got to do. It says in the second verse, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." That's the picture. And what will you become? Instead of being like chaff just blown around by every wind of doctrine, it says He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever He does prospers. What a picture! If we meditate on the Word of the Lord day and night. Well, think of Psalm 19, 7 and 8. Speaking of the Bible, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." What a word, restoring us. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, stopping us from being fools, helping us to be wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." I think of the modern day news we have today. It's pretty depressing. You read the Word, you'll be rejoicing. "The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You've got to have a love for the Word, a love for God's Spirit, who is able to teach us the Word. And what does it say in Romans 12:2? Renew our mind. That's what we need. It's that renewing of our mind that enables us to be a living and holy sacrifice. It's renewing our mind that causes us to not be stuck in the mud anymore, no longer conform to this world, but alive in God, alive in Christ, being transformed into His image. That's how it's meant to be. Yet so often, as Christians, we are just not doing these things. We're not allowing our minds to be renewed, and we do not give ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice. We are compromised. We're compromised, and we are stuck. We're stuck. Not how God wants it to be. At the end of verse 2, it also says something else that I love. Let me read verse 2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. I have a hunger to know God's will. Do you? To know God's will is the best. How do you know that? Because to do God's will brings true joy and purpose, delight. And it says here that if I stop myself from being conformed to this world, and if I allow my mind to be renewed, then I will know the will of God. Friends, that's what happens. In the Word of God, as you allow His Spirit to teach you, you will know God's will. And what's God's will described here to be? Good and pleasing and perfect. May you know God's will. May you live it out. May you be transformed into the image of Christ. May none of us be chained still and stuck in the mud. May we be alive. We live in these incredibly amazing days with Christ returned so near, where so many things are happening. This is the time to be a living and holy sacrifice. This is the time to make sure your mind is renewed every day, so that you might truly live a life that brings glory to God and so much blessing to those about us. What do you reckon? This is a really important two verses. I would challenge you to memorize it and to live these words out. I'd encourage you to go home and think about these words afresh and ask the Lord to help you to be a true living and holy sacrifice. Think of every body part you have. Use it for God. Use it for His glory. Think of your mind. Make sure your mind is renewed, that you are committed to reading His Word and allowing it to be renewed every day. This is something you must do. God's done so much for you. There's a part for us to play as well. This is it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. From this comes incredible blessing and transformation. Now we're going to sing a song now called Consider Christ. And I've picked this one because the chorus really captures the words in Romans 12. It says here in the chorus, "My Lord and God, You are so rich in mercy." That's the springboard of all this. You're so rich in mercy. Mere words alone are not sufficient thanks. So take my life, transform, renew and change me, that I might be a living sacrifice. Now, Father, we live in days that are challenging and interesting. As we live in the days before the return of Jesus, help us to heed these words. May You impress these truths upon our life. You have done great things for us, but we have a part to play as well. Please would You stop us from mucking around and being compromised in our life, being stuck in the mud, the world's mud. May You set us free. Help us to be a living and holy sacrifice to You. Help us to be renewing our mind, just simply taking Your word each day and asking You to guide us and help us understand. And as we do that, may we understand Your will for our life. May we live it out. May all glory as a result be given to You. May our lives reflect You. May our lives bring You pleasure. May we be living lives that cause Your kingdom to grow. Lord, please help this little church here at Bassendean, that we might all be on this same page, living for You. Had enough with living for self and now living for Jesus. Please would You help us, Father. We ask this in Your Son's dear name. Amen.